It explains why you've been so nervous around me. I will not stay under the roof of a follower of the Cutter. But, blessed one, Arendar the Bright has no conflict with Lebowan.
Stavin looked at him and shook his head as he replied, Arendar might not, but it's well known that I do.
Royal guards, we're leaving.
All the guardsmen started assembling their gear, and Stavin and Karvik went upstairs to collect their personal gear. Karvik said,
Somehow, I'm not surprised that we've run into more of the Cutter's followers here. The East was supposed to be his stronghold in Imperial times.
Stavin grunted his agreement.
And no, as well. We'll buy supplies and eat in the saddle. I don't trust our safety close to this city now.
He turned and looked at Karvik.
Remind me to ask who they worship at the next city before we unpack.
Karvik laughed as he nodded his agreement. When they returned to the common room, Stavin wasn't surprised to see the mayor again.
Blessed one, please reconsider. While the worship of Lebowan is widespread in Henley, he is by no means the only god worshipped here.
Stavin looked at him and shook his head.
No, it's not worth the risk to my people,
he said as he looked at the mayor.
Lebowan's followers have been after me for years. They've come close a time or three, but we've always managed to defeat them. But my people have paid in blood for those victories.
Blessed one, what can I do to change your mind?
The mayor begged.
Nothing. I will not stay where Lebowan's followers flourish.
Stavin turned away and headed toward the door. The innkeeper was standing by the door, and Stavin flipped him a gold crown as he passed.
For what we received beneath your roof, we are grateful.
The innkeeper bowed, but remained silent as the royal party filed by. Chapter 12. The ride out of town was quiet. They received a few confused looks, but no one even asked where they were going. Once they were outside the gates, Stavin waved Farallan Zelaniston over to his side.
Take all the traders and trade guards to the caravansary and purchase some supplies. Here,
he handed over his pouch.
Buy enough for 10 days. We're going up the road a bit.
Farallan bowed and turned away, with the traders following single file behind her. Stavin turned toward Karvik and jerked his head to the side.
Let's put some dragons between us and this town.
They rode for a span, just far enough that the town was out of sight. It wasn't long before the sound of horses following them at a canter came up the road. Farallan rode straight to Stavin's side and handed over his pouch.
3 silver and 4 sparks, Prince Stavin. They were very upset with the Lord Mayor and his innkeeper.
The Lord Mayor's innkeeper?
Karvik asked in a suspicious tone.
Farallan nodded. It seems that Lord Mayor Zelborlan owns the Hornet's Nest. The master traders in charge of the caravansary said that's why we were sent there. The guards at the gate having standing orders to send wealthy or important visitors to that inn to boost the Lord Mayor's prestige and profit.
Stavin shook his head slowly.
I should be surprised, but somehow I'm not. Distribute the supplies and we'll be on our way. I'd like to put a bit more distance between us and Henley before we stop for the night.
Everyone stuffed cheese and dried sausage into their saddlebags. Then they headed up the road toward Rheon the Glimmer. They continued for just 3 spans after sundown, but on the eastern side of the mountains that left them in nearly total darkness.
Time to stop, Karvik murmured. We're going to have to tend the horses in the dark.
Stavin looked at his glowing armor and grinned as he said,
Not all of us.
They made a cold camp, and Stavin covered his armor with a cloak. Not long after they had stopped, the sound of running horses passed on the road.
Someone is after someone,
Stavin muttered in a sing-song tone. It was near the middle of the next day that they found the trouble Karvik was worried about. The sound of a scream rang down the road. Karvik turned in the saddle and said,
"Steve?"
I know, I'll be good. Now go. I'll keep the traders with me."
Karvik nodded and led off at a gallop, with all the royal guards and trade guards behind him. The traders gathered around Stavian as he pulled his dragon's tongue from its sheath.
"Arm yourselves,"
he commanded. When everyone had a sword, knife, or axe in their hands, he led them forward at a walk. It took a full span to reach the scene of the attack. The action was all over except for digging the graves.
"Kar!"
Stavin shouted, and Karvik walked across the road to him.
"It's nasty, Steve. There are no survivors. 20 men attacked and killed the men last night, then took their time with the women this morning. The scream we heard was from the last of them, a young girl. They killed her when they saw us riding up."
Stavin shook his head slowly.
"Any survivors from the attackers?"
Karvik answered with a look.
"Right. Where's Var?"
Varric stalked out from behind a wagon, with his blooded sword still in his hand.
"I've heard the stories,"
he said as he looked at Stavin.
"But I never thought it would be so bad."
Stavin patted his shoulder.
"I know. Stories can't prepare you for the real thing. How many did you get?"
"One, and I was lucky to get him. We outnumbered them 2-1.
Stavin nodded and said,
"That's 11, Var, and your second red stripe."
He slapped Varric's shoulder, then went to where Farallan was standing. When she looked at him, he asked,
"Do you recognize any of the traitors?"
"No, Prince Stephen, not anyone in particular, but the caravan belonged to the Leek Arrowhead Syndicate."
She pointed to the crest on the side of the master's wagon.
"The what?"
"It's a trading house that is made up of a bunch of independent masters who all use the house name, but otherwise go their own way. Leek Arrowhead is a long way northwest of Orvalavad, up in the mountains, and used to be a bandit's haven until the Traders Guild hired a bunch of mercenaries to clean them out. Since then, it's turned into a trader's town."
Stavin nodded.
"Like Skycon. We'll dig graves for the traders and drag the trash into the forest. Organize the traders and your guards and start reloading the wagons."
Farallan bowed, then started assigning people to wagons. There were 10 wagons, and the raiders had thoroughly looted all of them, carelessly throwing a large variety of items out onto the ground. The traders were buried, and the raiders disposed of in just 11 spans. Stavin's traders had the wagons loaded, the teams harnessed and ready to go long before then. Stavin walked True to the lead wagon and tied her reins to the back, then climbed aboard.
"Prince Stephen?"
Farallan asked in confusion.
"I'm the only one here with a master's vest,"
he answered with a slight grin.
"Besides, if we meet anyone, I'd prefer to have my armor covered until we see what they want."
Farallan nodded and flicked her reins, setting the oxen into motion. Stavin looked at Karvik and waved him over.
"I'd like Var up here. He's still pretty shaken by what he saw back there."
Karvik just nodded, then turned and bellowed,
"Lieutenant Kalhovel, front and center!"
Varric rode to the front and bowed in the saddle to Karvik.
"Yes, Major Kilcarran."
"Ride with the lead wagon. I want someone who isn't afraid of him to keep him out of trouble."
Varric looked at Stavin and grinned.
"Yes, sir. I'll try to make him behave like a prince."
"Watch it, Var,"
Stavin said softly.
"I'll tell the twins you're hiding presents from them. Zari will never get your room straight again."
Varric looked at him and muttered,
"That's mean."
The wagon slowed them down considerably. Oxen are strong, but not fast. It took 10 days to reach the city of Orvalavad, on the banks of the Greenleaf River. Stavin had kept them moving past several small towns along the way. He didn't want to answer the inevitable questions concerning the wagons. Ovalavad was a large city, and nearly 60,000 souls called it home. Stavin and Farallan led them to the caravansary and reported the incident. The caravansary manager listened to Farallan's story in silence, then nodded.
"I don't suppose you found any identification on the bandits, did you?"
Stavin signalled Karvik over and said, "Show this good man what you found on the bandits' car." Karvik pulled an amulet from his pouch.
"The leader, or at least the bastard that seemed to be the leader, had this on his coat."
The caravansary manager hissed between his teeth,
"The mark of Belkorad."
Stavin glanced at Farallan, but she didn't seem to recognize the name.
"Who is that?" he asked.
The manager shook his head.
"The worst bandit in the area. He's not satisfied just robbing people. Oh, no. He has to kill everyone, so there are no witnesses to testify against him."
Stavin nodded.
"That fits with what we saw. He may not be a problem anymore."
The manager shook his head.
"It would have taken quite a force to take out Belkorad and his band."
He looked at the traders behind them and shook his head.
"You don't have nearly enough men."
He looked Karvik up and down.
"No matter how prettily they're dressed."
Stavin grinned and said, "Major Kelkarin, assemble the guard." Karvik bowed, then pulled a horn from his belt and blew three long tones. In moments, the Evandian royal guards had formed up facing their prince.
"The guard is assembled, Your Highness."
The caravansary manager looked terrified and seemed to be on the verge of running away.
"Who are you?"
he asked in a quavering whisper. Karvik bowed to Stavin and replied,
"This is His Royal Highness, Dragon-blessed Senior Warmaster Prince Stavin Markan Karvan Dokelin Neaniston Zelandral, blessed of Arendar the Bright."
The poor man fainted. Stavin looked at Karvik and said,
"Well, that was dramatic."
The sound of running feet heralded the arrival of a hand of Traders Guild guards.
"Drop your weapons!"
one of them shouted. Another was blowing a shrill whistle, summoning more aid. Stavin finally decided to remove the cloak that hid his armor and face the guards before something unfortunate happened.
"Gentlemen, sheathe your swords. He's all right, he just fainted."
The lead guard started to say something, but two of his men dropped to their knees beside him and put their foreheads to the ground. One of them shouted,
"Bow, you fool! He's the blessed of Arendar!"
The leader looked closely at Stavin, then dropped his sword as he fell to his knees, begging forgiveness. The manager was regaining his senses.
"Blessed one,"
he said as he climbed to his knees and placed his forehead to the dirt of the caravansary.
"Please forgive my presumption."
"Stand, good man,"
Stavin commanded, and waited until the man was on his feet again before continuing.
"Among my other titles is Master Trader and owner of the Carl Aniston Trading House. My royal guards killed 20 bandits who had taken this caravan. As such, we claim salvage on it and offer it for auction."
"As you wish, blessed one."
Stavin nodded toward the wagons.
"I'm leaving 8 traders and guards under Trader Farallan Zell Aniston to take care of them while I go find your Lord Mayor."
The manager bowed deeply, then pointed to the left.
"If you leave by that gate and follow the road, it will lead you straight to the city center and city hall, blessed one."
Stavin smiled and said,
"Thank you,"
then turned away. He collected True and led the way out of the caravansary. Karvik matched pace with him.
"Time for another parade?"
Stavin laughed.
"I suppose so, Kar."
Karvik's team took the right side in a single file, while Varric and his team took the left. The sight of so many armed men in the city was more than enough to draw the curious, and the sight of Stavin's golden armor triggered a torrent of excited shouts speeding through the city. A wave of sound rolled over the city and back to Stavin like ripples in a pond. Thousands of people lined the streets, shouting questions at one another until Stavin's party came into view. Once Stavin was seen, the noise subsided as people went to their knees and bowed deeply to the blessed of Arendar. Karvik still had to shout as he said, "You're still the best traveling show on the continent." Stavin shouted back, "Shut up, Kar," as he laughed. It took 5 spans to reach the center of the city. The square was more than 2 dragons across and boasted an intricate fountain in the center. Every building around the square was built of marble and gleamed in Arendar's light. Stavin pointed to the right.
"I think that's the city hall."
Karvik nodded but didn't try to answer. The noise from the crowd was tremendous. Stavin led his people to the steps of the city hall and stopped. A group of elegantly dressed men and women were assembled at the top of the steps, and one man walked forward with his arms raised.
"Quiet, please,"
he said, and his voice boomed across the square.
"Let us properly welcome the blessed of Arendar."
The crowd quieted, and he continued,
"Prince Stephen, blessed of Arendar the Bright, we welcome you to Orvalavad. I am Lord Mayor Randall Zelgestan, and arrayed behind me are the members of the City Council, our guildmasters, and the Master of the King's Academy."
Stavin bowed slightly, then spoke loudly in reply.
"Lord Mayor,"
he began, and was shocked into silence as his voice echoed off the buildings. He began again in a more restrained tone.
"Lord Mayor Zelgestan, I am honored by your welcome and that of your people. Let the light of Arendar the Bright shield you from evil, and let the love of the gods above fill your souls."
The crowd went totally silent for a moment, and Stavin was afraid he'd made a big mistake. But when he looked around, he saw what had happened. Every person in the square had gone to their knees and bowed until their foreheads touched the cobblestones. Looking up at the mayor and council, he noted that even they had gone to both knees, though they had just bowed their heads. Stavin climbed the 10 marble steps until he was facing the mayor.
"Rise, Lord Mayor Zelgestan."
Again his voice rolled across the square.
"All of you rise. Turn your faces to the light."
The mayor and his council rose to their feet, then bowed to Stavin again.
"Prince Stephen, it is a pleasure to welcome you to our fine city. Will you join us in the council chamber?"
Stavin bowed and said,
"Yes, Lord Mayor Zelgestan."
The mayor bowed and turned away, leading Stavin into the building. Karvik's team hurried to join them. The mayor looked at Karvik's men curiously, but if he had any objections to their presence, he kept them to himself. Once Karvik had cleared the room, Stavin walked in and took the chair nearest the door. The Lord Mayor remained standing once everyone else was seated.
"Prince Stephen,"
he began, and Stavin was glad his voice had returned to a normal volume.
"We hoped you would stop for a few days on your way to Rheon the Glimmer."
Stavin bowed his head slightly.
"We intend to, especially now." "Has something else happened, Your Highness?"
the mayor asked. Stavin nodded.
"Yes. 10 days ago, we came upon a caravan that was under attack by bandits. My royal guards, led by Major Kilcarin,"
he gestured toward Karvik,
"saw to the bandits, but unfortunately all of the traders were already dead. The caravansary manager mentioned someone called Bel Korad when we brought the wagons in." "Bel Korad and his band are a scourge on Renidia,"
the mayor replied as he shook his head.
"How many of his men did your guardsmen kill, Prince Stephen?"
20.
The mayor looked surprised, as did his councillors.
"That is 5 more men than he was reported to have. I'll instruct Lord Javan to see to the disposition of the caravan. Do you know what house they were from, Prince Stephen?"
Stavin nodded.
"Farallan said they were from the Leek Arrowhead Syndicate."
The mayor shook his head sadly.
Another of the Syndicate's caravans. It's almost like someone was directing Bel-Korad to them.
That is unfortunately possible,
one of the councillors said in a soft voice.
Or directing the caravans into his area. I have a lot invested in the Syndicate. Hopefully this will mean an end to our losses.
Stavin nodded again.
Hopefully, he agreed. My main hope is that the roads will be safe for all caravans, mine included.
Your caravans, Your Highness? Another of the councillors asked.
Yes.
Stavin spent a few moments sketching his plans for House Kel'Aniston in Renadia.
Now, if you will excuse me, he concluded as he stood, I need to find a good inn and clean up.
Of course, Your Highness,
the mayor said as he stood.
The Royal Bull Inn is just up the way. We would be pleased to escort you there.
Stavin nodded and allowed the entire city council to escort him the three dragons to the inn. Karvik nodded his satisfaction as he said,
Now this is more like it.
Stavin had to agree. The Royal Bull was huge. It was easily a dragon and a half across the front, and three deep down the sides. Four floors towered over the street, and wide balconies circled the building. When Stavin's foot touched the first of the 10 steps that led to the entry, the doors opened and a tall blonde woman stepped out, then went to her knees. She didn't, however, bow her head.
Blessed of Arendar, dragon-blessed Prince Stephen of Evandia, we welcome you to the Royal Bull. I am Lady Eva Zell Kelly.
Now she did bow her head briefly.
Owner and proprietress, my staff has been setting the royal suite to rights since we were informed of your arrival. If you would care to send in your servants, my people will take them to the royal suite.
Stavin bowed in return before replying,
I am honored by your greeting, Lady Zell Kelly. I didn't bring any servants this trip. I hadn't intended on making much of a fuss.
Lady Eva bowed her head again.
I will assign Grantan to act as your butler.
Karvik interrupted her, saying,
We cannot allow non-bound servants near Prince Stephen.
At the look of rage that crossed her face, he bowed and continued,
We mean no insult to you or your people, Lady Zell Kelly. Those are our orders from King Kaelin, and not even Prince Stephen can countermand them.
Then who sees to His Highness's needs, young man?
She asked in a remarkably mild tone. Stavin chuckled.
He does. Really, there are only a few things I can't do for myself.
Lady Eva bowed again, though it was obvious that she wasn't used to being told no.
All of my servants are properly bound, young man. This is a royal inn. However, you may do as you wish, Your Highness. This way, please. I'll escort you myself.
She bowed, and Stavin moved to her side.
Our royal suite is on the fourth floor for your protection, Prince Stephen. Also for your security. There are gates at each corner of the balcony that are locked and cannot be opened from the opposite side.
Stavin was nodding.
I'm impressed.
Now she smiled down at him.
Alred stays with me whenever he passes through.
King Alred? Stavin asked. She gave him a sly wink and a smile.
My big brother Al. Ah, that explains...
Stavin interrupted himself and shook his head.
So I should call you Your Highness as well, shouldn't I? No,
she replied with a slight smile.
I renounced my claim to the throne to marry Kodan.
Stavin bowed slightly, then said,
Very well, Lady Zell Kelly. We will be down in a span or so. Major Kel'Karan will be posting his men on guard, but they try to be discreet.
Lady Zell Kelly bowed her head as she stopped by a wide door.
This is the royal suite, Prince Stephen.
She pushed the door open and stood aside to let Stavin enter the suite first. Stavin took two steps and stopped.
Gods above, this is magnificent!
He turned around to find Lady Zell Kelly standing beside Karvik. Lady Zelkelly chuckled at his tone.
"It's an exact duplicate of Alred's suite in the palace. He had it remodeled to match not long after he ascended to the throne."
"It's a pretty good match for King Caelan's suite back home,"
Stavin said as he looked around,
"and much more elegant than King Taravan's suite in Moravad."
Lady Ava's head tilted to the side as she asked,
"Really?"
Stavin nodded.
"Many of the palaces were built by the Imperial architects as homes for the Emperor when he was travelling to the provincial capitals. I don't know if the Emperor's ordered it, but most of the palaces closely match the Imperial Palace in Lux. Those that were built later still use the old designs."
"How curious,"
she replied, as she tapped her lips with one finger.
"I wish we had travelled more when I was young. I've never seen any of the other capitals or palaces."
Stavin bowed slightly.
"Lady Ava, we will be down shortly."
She smiled and bowed, then walked away. Stavin chuckled as he closed the door.
"I can't imagine Caelan letting Marina run an inn."
"Can't you?" Karthik asked. "What about running a trading house?"
"But I'm not... King Alred is her brother, not her father, so she wasn't the heir. She must have married into the Zelkelly family and come here to have something to keep her busy."
Karthik was nodding.
"If you had to just sit around and look pretty all the time, you'd go insane in short order. Besides, you might not have noticed before, but all the royal inns in Evandia are owned by the royal family. The innkeepers are hirelings, just like the servants. She said all of her servants were boned, but I'll bet that's because of her, not the king."
Stavin nodded.
"You're probably right, Kar."
Stavin started shucking himself out of his armor, heading unerringly toward the bathing room. Chapter 13 Stavin and Karvik returned to the ground floor to find just a handful of people there. Lady Ava walked over to them and bowed, asking,
"How can I serve you, Prince Stavin?"
Stavin returned the bow before saying,
"I'd like a beer, please."
Lady Ava's smile deepened as she led them to a table. She gestured toward the bar, and a serving man brought two tall glasses of light amber beer. She set them on the table with her own hand, then bowed.
"This is my finest brew. My late husband and his brothers developed this recipe over the course of 30 years. I hope it meets your approval."
Stavin nodded, then tried the beer. He and Karvik had settled whether or not Karvik would be tasting the food here while they were bathing.
"That is excellent, Lady Ava. It's got a very light flavor."
"Indeed,"
Karvik agreed, before taking a second drink.
"I think I'd prefer a stouter brew in the winter, but this is perfect in the summer."
Lady Ava bowed as she smiled.
"Thank you. My cooks have prepared roast bison with roasted tubers and carrots, roast duck with boiled greens, and deep-fried rabbit with mashed tubers."
Stavin had tilted his head to the side as she spoke, and nodded when she finished.
"The fried rabbit sounds interesting."
Karvik nodded.
"I think I'll try the roast duck."
Lady Ava bowed slightly and said,
"As you wish,"
then turned away. Karvik saw Varric and waved him over.
"Normal watches, Var. This inn is a favorite of the king, so their security is probably sufficient, but we'll continue on our regular schedule."
"Yes, sir,"
Varric replied as he bowed.
Stavin added, "Var, Lady Ava is the king's little sister. Pass the word for everyone to be on their best behavior. She might have renounced her claim on the throne, but she is still a member of the royal family."
"Yes, Your Highness, I'll pass the word."
Lady Ava returned with a serving man following her with a tray. She again served Stavin and Karvik with her own hands, then bowed.
"Here is your supper, Prince Stavin."
Stavin bowed in his chair, then said,
"Lady Ava, this is my brother-in-law, Lieutenant Varric Kelhovel."
Lady Ava nodded as Varric bowed deeply.
He'll be setting watches on the fourth floor.
Lady Ava bowed her head again.
Maral will show you the gates and provide you with the keys,
she replied, motioning toward the serving man. Maral bowed and said,
This way, please, Lieutenant,
then turned toward the kitchen.
Lady Ava looked at Karvik and said, Major, the remaining rooms on the fourth floor are available for your men to use. They are not elegant, but my brother's guards have never complained.
Karvik stood and bowed. Thank you, Lady Ava.
Lady Ava,
Stavin said as he looked up at her,
I need rooms for 8 traders and 8 trade guards as well. 6 of the traders are from Clan Zell Aniston, so I'd like to give all of them good rooms. The guards and remaining 2 traders are from Clan Cal Aniston, so they don't need as nice a room. Kira's clan,
she replied with a knowing nod.
You are aligning yourself with Clan Zell Aniston?
Stavin nodded.
I was born a Cal Aniston, Lady Ava.
She nodded as she replied,
I hadn't forgotten that, Prince Stavin. Clan Zell Aniston and Clan Zell Carl have been allied for dozens of generations, extending well into the early Imperial era. Alan Kira married my nephew Jerlan more than 20 years ago, and will be queen when Alred and Alantana die.
Stavin sat back and said,
Lady Serana didn't mention that. Sara doesn't like to play on her relationship to the royal family, but she and I share a common great-grandfather. One generation closer, and Jerlan wouldn't have been allowed to wed Alan Kira.
Oh, was the most intelligent thing Stavin could say for a few moments. Once he regained his wits, he continued with,
That puts her much better connected than I thought. Zell Aniston was one of the premier clans of the province of Renidia. They are, as I'm sure you've noticed, still very influential. Are you joining or competing with the Zell Aniston trading house? Joining. We're going to be seeing to the long-distance trade, while Sindal concentrates on the local trade around Aniston and Zell Castle. That will please Alred. There are few trading houses that dare the mountains these days.
Because of Belcorad, Lady Ava?
Karvik asked. She fixed him with an intense stare as she said,
Indeed.
Karvik stood and bowed again.
Unless he had more than one band of thieves out there, he's dead.
Lady Ava froze for an instant, then giggled like a little girl. She asked,
You killed Belcorad?
In a voice that sounded like she was out of breath. Karvik bowed deeply.
We did. His band had attacked a caravan, and we happened upon them before they had finished with the traders. We killed 20 bandits, but we were too late to save any of the traitors. The last of them was a young girl. Her scream was what drew our attention.
Lady Ava shook her head.
That is going to anger some very influential people, young man.
Lady?
Karvik asked, as his head tilted to the side.
It's been surmised that Belcorad was just the hands for someone else. He was too successful against certain houses, and never touched others.
Like the Lake Arrowhead Syndicate,
Stavin said, as he tapped his lips with one finger.
One of the city councilmen mentioned something along those lines.
Lady Ava glanced at their plates and said,
Eat now. I think we're going to have a long discussion about the politics of trade and the trade in politics here in Renidia.
With that, she bowed slightly and walked away. Stavin and Karvik ate quickly. When Lady Ava saw that they were finished, she walked over to the table and bowed.
Prince Stavin, the Lord Mayor and Council request an audience.
Stavin nodded and stood.
Are they here, or do they want me back in their council chamber? They are here, Prince Stavin,
she replied with a grin.
They like my husband's beer.
Stavin chuckled as he replied,
So do we.
He and Karvik picked up their mugs and followed Lady Ava into a large private dining room and found 9 men and women waiting for him.
Lady Ava said, "Prince Stephen, I leave you to your discussions,"
as she bowed Stephen toward a seat.
Stephen held up one finger to stop her. "Lady Ava, you're welcome to stay and participate in this discussion as my guest. Your knowledge of the political situation here in Renedia could prove invaluable."
Lady Ava bowed her acceptance of the invitation and took the seat at Stephen's right hand. The Lord Mayor looked uncomfortable about Lady Ava's inclusion, but had the good sense to keep his opinion about it to himself. Stephen bowed his head slightly and asked,
"What can I do for you, Lord Mayor Zelgestan?"
The Lord Mayor stood and bowed to Stephen.
"Prince Stephen, we are all curious about you and your remarkable accomplishments, and, of course, your newest accomplishment of becoming the Blessed of Arendar."
Stephen shook his head and said,
"I can't take any credit for being blessed. That was Arendar's decision."
One of the women blurted out,
"But I heard you went to the temple expressly to seek Arendar's blessing."
Stephen chuckled and shook his head.
"No, I went to Arendar's temple because I had been tainted by the evilest one, and Arendar reacted to me when I first arrived in Aniston."
One of the men stood and glared at the woman for a moment before asking, "What taint did Arendar find, Prince Stephen?"
"It was a childhood matter,"
Stephen replied with a slight shake of his head.
"An old pain deep in my soul from something that happened when I was 11. I encountered several of the evilest one's priests on my second expedition, and carried 4 of his amulets for several hands of days, before I could find an adept to cleanse them. The evilest one touched me then."
The man shook his head.
"I find it remarkable that Arendar would choose someone that Eshokanal had touched."
Stephen focused his gaze on the counselor, and spoke softly as he said,
"I will ask you not to speak that name in my presence."
The counselor smiled slightly as he asked,
"Are you offended by the mention of the opposition?"
Stephen tilted his head to the side, then pulled the cuff of his shirt back. As was his habit, he had put his underpadding back on after he'd bathed. Now the dragon scale cloth glowed brightly as it came into view.
"Just a little,"
he answered, as the man took an involuntary step back. The room was absolutely silent for a moment. Lord Mayor Zelgestan whispered,
"You fools, shut your mouths,"
as he looked at his counselors. Stephen looked at the Lord Mayor and said,
"Explain."
The mayor looked at the table for a moment, then replied,
"Not everyone worships the gods above, Prince Stephen."
Stephen nodded.
"I have never encountered anyone who worshipped any of the gods below, except those priests I mentioned."
Another of the counselors said,
"The gods above are not the only gods worthy of worship."
Stephen startled everyone into silence by saying,
"Agreed."
Lady Ava turned toward him and asked,
"Prince Stephen?" "Our natures, every one of us, are made up of bits and pieces of all 10 gods. No one is wholly good or wholly evil."
He continued to outline what he had learned from the gods above during his visits to the temples in Aniston.
"So even you, the Blessed of Arendar, admit that you are controlled by the gods below?"
The counselor who had spoken Eshokanal's name said in a definitely satisfied tone,
"As I said, all 10 of the gods influence everyone. It is the gods who exert the most influence that determine if you are considered good or evil."
"But you admit Esho—"
The counselor stopped talking when Stephen launched himself out of his chair and strode over to face him.
"Do you really want to see how the gods below influence me?"
he growled, as he glared down into the man's eyes.
"I killed 85 men before I picked up the sword of Zelhallan. 85 kills before I saw the 19th anniversary of my birth."
He leaned forward so his face was less than a hand's width from the counselor's face.
"Are you really that anxious to see which of the gods will claim your soul?
The counselor looked up into Stavin's golden eyes and stammered,
"Forgive me, blessed one."
Stavin pushed himself away from the man and returned to his seat. Looking around, he asked,
"Does anyone else want to try and provoke a response from me?"
"No, Prince Stephen,"
the Lord Mayor replied, as he looked at his counselors.
"I think that will be the last question of that kind."
He glared at three of his counselors for a moment, before bowing to Stavin.
"Very well,"
Stavin said as he looked around.
"I think we should move on to the subject of Treed and the bandit Belcorat."
"Yes, Prince Stephen,"
the mayor replied as he bowed his head.
"I'm sure that our Traders' Guild will welcome the addition of your hosts on the trade routes throughout the kingdom."
Stavin considered that for a moment before saying,
"We will be primarily covering the route between Zell Castle and Rhi, including Orvalovat. As I've said before, House Cal Aniston is going to be supporting House Zell Aniston. Now that Belcorad is no longer a factor, I would expect trade to increase."
The counselor who had said he was invested in the Lake Arrowhead Syndicate stood and bowed.
"Prince Stephen, I mean no disrespect to you or your men, but eliminating Belcorad doesn't eliminate all of the bandits in these mountains."
Stephen shrugged one shoulder.
"True. Perhaps King Alred can be persuaded to send regular army patrols through this area."
"He does,"
Lady Ava said as she looked around.
"But he's having to keep more troops in and around Rhi now."
"Is there trouble, Lady Ava?"
Karvik asked.
"You weren't warned?"
she asked, as she focused on Karvik.
"No, lady."
She glared at the councillors, then looked at Stavin.
"Prince Stephen, for the last 5 moons, Rhi has been under attack from within. Someone has been killing innocents. Someone very nasty."
"Lady Ava,"
the mayor said, as his hands made a patting gesture,
"perhaps this isn't the right time."
"And exactly when would be the right time, Randy?"
Lady Ava demanded.
"Would you send the prince into a trap?"
"No, of course not."
"Then have the courtesy to let me speak uninterrupted under my own roof."
Turning back to Stavin, she bowed her head.
"Prince Stavin, it has been guessed that a priest of one of the most powerful of the gods below has been preying on the people of Rheon the Glimmer."
Stavin sat as still as a statue for a moment, then nodded and whispered,
"So now we know why."
"Steve?"
Karvik asked, as he leaned toward his friend.
"Now we know why Arendar blessed me, chose me, when he could have just cleansed the taint and let me go. I'm his champion against whoever is doing this."
"Steve, you know I can't allow—"
"You know you can't stop this, Car,"
Stavin said gently, as he looked Karvik in the eyes.
"It's like that morning up on the Zellhorgan. This is something I have to do. There is no one else who can do it."
"You know what happens if you fail."
"Car, if it gets so bad that they get me, you wouldn't survive anyway. I know you too well to think you wouldn't be up my side."
"We can turn west now," Karvik snapped. "Forget Rhi. Take the traders to Cavadia and get them vests there. Steve, you're talking about facing off with one of the gods below again."
"Yes, I am, Car. It seems to be my feat."
"Steve, the god of storms nearly killed us. If it wasn't for your armor, the evilest one would have killed us. How many of the gods below do you think you can square off against and come out standing?"
Stavin was looking at the floor as he replied,
"I don't know, Car. But those other times I couldn't feel Arendar with me. No."
He paused and shrugged.
"I feel him and the others with me all of the time."
Karvik looked him in the eyes and nodded.
"I wish we had the Sword of Zell'Hallan with us."
Stavin gave him a wry grin as he replied,
"So do I." but I really don't think it would make that big a difference.
Turning back to Lady Ava, Stavin bowed his head and asked,
"Would you please tell us everything you know about what's happening in Rhea?"
Lady Ava nodded thoughtfully for a moment, then replied,
"About 5 moons ago, the bodies of young men and women began appearing in the streets of Rhea. That in itself wasn't that unusual in the riverfront portion of the city, unfortunately. But these bodies were in the chosen portion of the city, and they were chosen children."
Stavin hissed,
"Virgin sacrifices!" "Not all," Lady Ava replied softly. "At first that was the assumption, and a lot of young boys and girls lost their virginity in the days following the first few deaths. But the peace didn't change, and those who had lost their virginity were among the victims. And there was worse to come."
She paused and took a sip of her wine.
"Alred ordered all of the city's magi to find whoever was killing the children, but they couldn't find him. Then there was a backlash from the attempt that killed the adepts and broke the magic of the masters and journeymen. And the next round of killings involved every apprentice mage, male and female, who had never used necromancy."
Stavin whispered,
"Gods below." "That is the current belief, Prince Stavin."
Stavin nodded.
"It is something of a certainty, isn't it?"
He nodded toward the councillors.
"This is the first time I've encountered the open, active worship of the gods above and the gods below. Lebowan and Sarin are the most commonly worshipped gods of the Western Kingdoms, and I've had my share of trouble with the followers of Lebowan."
Stavin stood and began pacing around the room.
"There is a balance of power between the gods above and below that keeps the world from becoming a heaven or a hell. As I said before, I'm certain that every one of us is under the influence of all 10 gods. If one of the gods above or below gains too much influence by creating someone, well, someone like me, the other side has to balance him out. The fact that this started when I was still in Twin Bridges makes me think my being blessed was a reaction, an attempt to rebalance the power of the gods."
"So you're certain..." one of the councillors began, but Stavin cut him off.
"I'm not certain of anything. I only know what I've heard, and most of that was here and now. How can I be certain of anything with so little information?"
He let loose a bitter bark of laughter.
"Ha! Given the circumstances, I probably won't know for certain until I'm face to face with whoever it is, and he tells me." "You think he will?"
Lady Ava asked. Stavin shrugged.
"It seems to work out that way most of the time."
"But what if you lose?"
the Lord Mayor asked. Stavin turned to look him in the eye as he replied,
"Then Renedia will become a living hell for you and your people."
Stavin and Karvik stayed up late that night discussing the day's revelations.
"I still say we should just head home," Karvik almost shouted.
Stavin sighed.
"If there wasn't so much at stake, I would. I don't want to die, Kar. I don't want you, Var, and the rest to die either. But there is someone in Rhea that is a threat to everyone."
He snapped to his feet and strode around the room, grinding his right fist into his left palm.
"If one of the gods below gains control of Rhea, all of Renedia will soon follow. Then Luxandia. Cavadia is a given, considering that they already act like Kesanda Shandarum controls them."
Stavin shook his head as his jaws clenched.
"Given what Lady Ava said about the victims, it almost has to be Eshokanal or Ravashanal, and my money would be on Ravashanal. She's the goddess of terror. Lady Ava didn't say how the innocents died. Eshokanal feeds on pain, but Ravashanal feeds on fear. The fear of innocence and the fear these attacks are stirring up would be like nectar to her."
"Steve," Karvik murmured. "Every time you say one of those names, the glow from your underpadding pulses."
Stavin shook his head slowly.
Arendar doesn't like me naming them, but we have to discuss our options.
Karvik nodded in return.
Try not saying the whole name.
Stavin considered that idea and said,
Esho.
Not a twitch.
Rather.
Karvik's nod was all the acknowledgement Stavin needed.
Very well. Let's hope for Rava instead of Esho.
Agreed. But you're still talking about the gods below. You said you could sense all of the gods above. Wouldn't it follow that whoever is doing this can probably sense all of the gods below?
Stavin nodded and abruptly sat back down.
Yes. Unfortunately, it does.
So this could be a full-out battle between the gods above and the gods below.
Stavin sat quietly for a moment, then whispered,
I hope not. I don't think anyone would survive from either side.
Morning brought the traders to Stavin's table. Farallan bowed and said,
Prince Stavin, we are going to need you at the caravansary this morning. As our only master trader, you are going to have to officiate over the sale of the caravan.
Stavin nodded.
Do you know when? A Lord Javan arrived while the wagons were being inventoried. He posted a notice that the auction would be held at midday.
Very well, Stavin said as he sat back.
Come get me about 8 spans before midday. I'll be meeting with the master of the Royal Renedian Academy until then.
Farallan bowed, then walked away with the other traders in tow. Karvik was giving him a curious look.
Huh?
I want to meet with the master of the Royal Renedian Academy and his subordinates. I want to see what they can tell me about what's happening in Rhea.
Chapter 14 Lady Ava provided a guide to the Royal Renedian Academy as soon as Stavin mentioned his desire. It was a fair walk and took over 3 spans to complete, but soon Stavin and his guards were mounting the academy steps. They were met by an exceptionally nervous young woman in academy robes. Bowing deeply, she said,
Welcome to the Royal Renedian Academy of Orvalavad. I am apprentice scribe Reina Zelnavan. How may I serve you, blessed Prince Stavin?
Stavin bowed slightly in return, and smiled as he replied,
Relax, Reina. I used to be an apprentice scribe in Cavanston. I'd like to speak to the master of the academy. At once, blessed Prince Stavin,
she replied with a very deep bow.
If you will excuse me, I will inform her that you are here.
Stavin nodded and she backed away, then hurried into the building.
Karvik chuckled and said, Blessed Prince Stavin, no. We're going to have to start writing these down.
Stavin laughed, but the return of Reina with 7 elderly men and women interrupted. Stavin turned and looked at them as they arrayed themselves in an arch, facing him. All of them went to one knee at the same time and bowed their heads. The woman in the lead said,
Prince Stavin, blessed of Arendar the Bright, how may we serve you?
Stavin bowed slightly and said,
I need all the information you can give me about the current troubles in Rhea.
The woman stood and bowed again.
We would be pleased to discuss this matter with you, Prince Stavin. I am Master Scholar Kara Zell-Nielsen, Master of the Academy. With me are the masters of the 6 disciplines we specialize in. Mathematics, engineering, physical science, history, literature, and languages.
Each of the masters bowed as their specialty was introduced, and Stavin had returned the bows.
I am pleased to meet you all,
Stavin replied.
I intend to stay for 2 more days, and the only thing that I currently have scheduled is a matter of trade at midday. We should have plenty of time for our discussions.
Master Zell-Nielsen bowed slightly.
I had my assistants set up our master's council room as soon as I heard you were here. They should be done by now, so if you will follow me, I would be quite pleased to escort you.
She swept her arm toward the doors in invitation. Stavin nodded and stepped toward her. As he matched pace with her, she continued,
"I confess that I had hoped you would consent to stay a while."
"Yes," the woman who had been introduced as the master of the School of Language said.
"I would love the chance to discuss the ancient glyphs with you."
Stavin tilted his head to the side and sighed.
"I'd like to, but the incidents in Rhee have me worried. I'm afraid there may be the blessed of one of the gods below behind it."
"And you, as the blessed of Arendar, are going to face him,"
the physical science master commented. He continued by quoting a science text that was as old as Luxand.
"Every action has an equal and opposite reaction."
Stavin nodded and said,
"Exactly. And I'm afraid I'm the reaction."
The council chamber was a pleasant surprise for Stavin. Unlike the council chambers of the kings and cities he'd visited, this room was a library. The council table was a simple rectangle, and Master Zell Nielsen led Stavin to the head of the table as the masters took the chairs along the sides. Master Zell Nielsen stood by the chair at the foot of the table, then looked at Stavin. When Stavin sat, so did everyone else.
"Blessed Prince Stavin,"
Master Zell Nielsen began, but stopped when Stavin raised his hand slightly.
"Just Prince Stavin, please. I'd prefer a minimum of ceremony." "As you wish, Prince Stavin,"
she continued.
"Are the guards really necessary?"
Stavin looked at Karvik and nodded.
"King Keelin's orders. Major, place 6 of your men outside the doors. Keep the highest ranking in here posted to the corners. You grab a chair and join us. You're going to be deeply involved in this."
Karvik bowed, as did his men. Then the junior 6 went out. Stavin could see them posting on opposite sides of the hall before the doors closed again. Karvik pulled a chair over and placed himself just behind Stavin's right shoulder. Turning back to the masters, Stavin bowed his head.
"What can you tell me about the manner of the innocents' deaths?"
Master Zill Nielsen bowed her head for a moment before saying,
"There is little to tell. The bodies are found with few signs of violence on them. King Alred had the healer adepts examine the first few, but they determined that all of them had died of heart failure. They appeared to have been frightened to death."
Stavin nodded.
"So we are probably dealing with Ravashanal, or one of her creatures."
"Prince Stavin?"
the Master of Physical Sciences said as he leaned forward.
"The glow from your armor just seemed to brighten for a moment."
Stavin nodded.
"Arendar doesn't like me naming the gods below, but sometimes I have to. We have found that not saying the whole name works better."
"It is always better to avoid drawing their attention without a good reason,"
the Master of History murmured.
"Agreed," Stavin said as he sat back from the table. "She is the goddess of terror and despair, so terror is a sufficient name."
"Indeed," Master Zell Nielsen said as she looked around.
"Still, it would be very hard to frighten someone to death. It has been surmised that there is an adept who worships the goddess of terror committing these atrocities."
Stavin smiled slightly.
"I can deal with him when we find him."
"How can you be so sure?" the Master of Languages asked. Stavin detailed his encounter with the priests of Eshokanal in Ormond.
"Whoever he is, between my armor and Arendar, I'm sure I can handle him."
The masters all nodded. Then the Master of Languages set forward to look Stavin in the eyes and asked,
"Prince Stavin, now that we've told you all we know of the incidents in Rhee, may we turn our discussion toward the ancient glyphs?"
Stavin laughed and said,
"I'd be delighted."
It was a lively 12 spans later that there was a knock at the door. Karvik opened it to find Ferelan waiting with Rena.
"Major Kel'Karan, Prince Stavin wanted to be informed when it was 8 spans till midday."
Stavin stood and bowed to the masters.
"I have enjoyed this discussion, masters, and I hope to continue them tomorrow."
Master Zell Nielsen bowed and replied,
"It has been an honor to meet you, Prince Stephen.